The woman with the trading stamps moaned and forked the sign of the evil eye at him. Approaching footsteps and a young woman's voice speaking rapidly and angrily.
Vatsahan, hook plutslik breast han dibuk, papa. Alasing grantind, snala dibuk, to mig mama.
Tadeusz Lemke, dressed in a nightshirt which fell to his bony knees, stepped barefoot into the light of the campfire. Next to him, wearing a cotton nightgown that rounded sweetly against her hips as she walked, was Gina Lemke.
Tamig, mama! Tamig!
She caught sight of Billy standing in the center of the circle, his sport coat hanging, the seat of his pants bagging to almost below the coat's hem. She flung a hand up in his direction and then turned back to the old man as if to attack him. The others watched in silent impassivity. Another knot exploded in the fire. Sparks spiraled up in a tiny cyclone.
Tamig, mama, vadibuk! Tamig inter tel momor, odor vudalak!
Sahan lakt, Gina, the old man replied.
His face and voice were both serene. One of his twisted hands stroked the smooth black flood of her hair, which fell to her waist. So far, Tadeusz Lemke had not looked at Billy at all.
Viskastana.
For a moment she sagged, and in spite of the lush curves, she seemed very young to Billy. Then she wheeled toward him again, her face rekindling. It was as if someone had thrown a shot of gasoline onto a dying fire.
You don't understand our lingo, mister, she screamed at him. I say to my old papa that you killed my old mama. I say you are a demon and we should kill you.
The old man put a hand on her arm. She shook it free and rushed at Billy, barely skirting the campfire on flying bare feet. Her hair streamed out behind her.
Gina, for Kliegen glad,
someone cried, alarmed, but no one else spoke. The old man's serene expression did not change. He watched Gina approach Billy as an indulgent parent watches a wayward child. She spat on him, an enormous amount of warm white spittle, as if her mouth had been full of it. Billy could taste some of it on his lips. It tasted like tears. She looked up at him with her enormous dark eyes, and in spite of all that had happened, in spite of how much he had lost of himself, he was aware that he still wanted her. And she knew it, too, he realized. The darkness in her eyes was mostly contempt. If it would bring her back, you could spit on me until I drowned in it, he said. His voice was surprisingly clear and strong. But I'm not a dibuk. Not a dibuk, not a demon, not a monster. What you see... He raised his arms, and for a moment the firelight shone through his coat, making him look like a large but very malnourished white bat. He slowly lowered his hands to his sides again. Is all that I am. For a moment she looked uncertain, almost fearful. Although her spittle was still trickling down his face, the contempt had left her eyes, and Billy was wearily grateful for that.
Gina!
It was Samuel Lemke, the juggler. He had appeared beside the old man and was still buckling his pants. He wore a T-shirt with a picture of Bruce Springsteen on it.
Enkelt menten raklicht.
You are a murdering bastard,
she said to Billy, and walked back the way she had come. Her brother attempted to put an arm around her, but she shook him off and disappeared into the shadows. The old man turned to watch her go, and then at last he turned his gaze on Billy Halleck. For a moment, Billy stared at the festering hole in the middle of Lemke's face, and then his eyes were drawn to the man's eyes. The eyes of age, had he thought? There was something more than that, and something less. It was emptiness he saw in them. It was emptiness which was their fundamental truth, not the surface awareness that gleamed on them like moonlight on dark water. Emptiness as deep and complete as the spaces which may lie between galaxies. Lemke crooked a finger at Billy, and, as if in a dream, Billy walked slowly around the campfire to where the old man stood in his dark gray nightshirt.
"Do you know Rome?"
Lemke asked, when Billy stood directly in front of him. His tone was almost intimate, but it carried clearly in the silent camp, where the only sound was the fire eating into dry wood. Billy shook his head.
In Rome, we call you Scumare Ignum, which means white man from town.
He grinned, showing rotted, tobacco-stained teeth. The dark hole where his nose had been stretched and writhed.
But it also means how it sounds. Ignorant scum.
Now his eyes finally let Billy's eyes go. Lemka seemed to lose all interest.
Go on now, white man from town. You have no business with us, and we have no business with you. If we had business, it is done. Go back to your town.
He began to turn away. For a moment, Billy only stood there with his mouth open, dimly realizing that the old man had hypnotized him. He had done it as easily as a farmer makes a chicken go to sleep by tucking its head under its wing.
That's it?
Part of him suddenly screamed. All of the driving, all of the walking, all of the questions, all of the bad dreams, all of the days and nights, and that's it? You're just going to stand here without saying a word? Just let him call you ignorant scum and then go back to bed? No, that is not it, Billy said in a rough, loud voice. Someone drew in a harsh, surprised breath. Samuel Lemka, who had been helping the old man toward the back of one of the campers, looked around, startled. After a moment, Lemka himself turned around. His face was wearily amused, but Billy thought for just a moment, just as the firelight touched his face. He had seen surprise there as well. Nearby, the young man who had first seen Billy reached under his vest again to where his revolver hung.
She's very beautiful, Billy said.
Gina.
Shut up, white man from town, Samuel Lemka said. I don't want to hear my sister's name come out your mouth.
Billy ignored him. He looked at Lemka instead.
Is she your granddaughter?
Great-granddaughter? The old man studied him, as if trying to decide whether or not something might be here after all, some sound other than the wind and the hollow ground. Then he began to turn away again.
Perhaps you'd wait just a minute while I write down my own daughter's address, Billy said, raising his voice.
He did not raise it much, but he did not need to in order to bring out its imperative edge, an edge he had honed in a good many courtrooms. She's not as lovely as your Gina,